Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Black Brick by Dan Decker. Welcome back to the podcast. We are continuing to read Black Brick. Last week we read, "My phone rang. Beltran again. You better get that," Cherry said. "He'll just keep calling till you do." I answered as more sirens filled the air. "Is that the police?" Beltran asked. "Is it possible for you kids to do anything without setting the whole world on fire?" "We're handling it," I said. "Try to leave the boys in blue alive. We're all on the same team," Beltran said. "Doing our best," I said, as Tom leaned out the window and aimed my F-2000 at another cop that had pulled up behind us and fired. I watched as the front wheel exploded. Cherry quickly put distance between the vehicle and us. "Are you shooting at them now?" Beltran demanded, anger showing in his voice. "Tom is just releasing some tension," I said. "Don't kill them," Beltran yelled. "Tom, Beltran says we shouldn't kill the police." "Noted," Tom said. "While you have been out causing havoc," Beltran said, "Payne was seen leaving the bookstore in the mall. Next time he goes in, we're going to pick him up. I'll need your help, so try to get back here in one piece." He paused. "And keep the police from following you home." "We'll do our best," I said, hanging up and relaying Beltran's message about not bringing the cops back with us. Cherry rolled her eyes as she hit the gas. And now, 20. The sun had long since reached the middle of the sky and was on its way down by the time we returned to Black Brick. It had been hours since we'd last seen a cop, and I hoped that we'd completely left the chase behind. While Cherry had driven like a madwoman, I had bandaged Tom's leg so we could move to another car. His wound was not bad, and I was relatively certain he would be on his feet in no time. We had changed vehicles twice in the last couple of hours and had finally decided it was safe enough to return. 5 dead found at the scene," Cherry said. I looked over from the wheel. I had told Cherry she was risking our lives with her crazy driving and had taken the driver's seat when we had switched cars. "They give you any details?" I asked, thinking about the 2 people I had shot. The woman with the tattoos and the man at the front of the van, and hoping I'd only killed 2. I could not remember if Tom had used his weapon or not, but if he had, he had not used it much. "Yep, 4 men and 1 woman. Strange, I didn't see a woman. Must have been a bystander." I shook my head. "She was in the Toyota that sideswiped us." "I see," Cherry said. "Looks like I got 2 with the car because they were run over." She did not sound pleased or bothered. It was just a comment. I knew her well enough to know that it was a facade, and that she was dealing with some inner turbulence. As far as I knew, it was the first time she had killed on a mission. That left 2 for me in addition to the woman, assuming Tom had not got off a shot. I tried to avoid thinking about the woman and found I could not. It had happened so fast, and I had acted out of instinct. My phone beeped, disturbing my morbid thoughts. Once we had parked in Black Brick's underground parking, I checked it. The email was from Chris via my student email account. In all the commotion, I had forgotten about my interaction with her the evening before. It already felt like a distant memory, and it had not even been more than a day yet. After hesitating, I opened the email. Not opening it would not keep Beltran from reading it. If she mentioned the nightclub, the situation could easily spin out of control if Beltran did not hear about it from me first. I almost laughed when I read it. Chris had taken a completely different tact. "So, according to her, I had visited last week and left something, huh?" I considered blowing it off, but I wasn't sure that I hadn't left anything at the club. The night had been a blur. Thinking about the pistol I'd lost on the train and not wanting another lecture from Beltran, I replied back that I'd meet her at the library. Instead of getting in with Cherry and Tom at the elevator, I headed for the stairs. "Where are you going?" Cherry asked. "We need to debrief." "To check on something," I said. "I'll be back in a few." The college campus was a 10-minute walk, and before leaving, I stopped off at my room in Black Brick and changed my clothes, doing my best to try to look like I had not been involved in a gunfight and had been on the run all day. Before I left, I checked the news to see if there had been any photos of us snapped during our escape from the police. If there were, they had not been published yet, which meant that it would be safe enough to leave Black Brick. I was close to the library when I heard a voice that made me cringe. "Sam," Thor said. "Hey, you weren't in class yesterday. You should have been there." Peck went on a rant about big government. I tried to avoid rolling my eyes, but was not sure if I succeeded. Of course he did. That's his job. Sit in his tower and tell everybody else in the world what they're doing wrong. I could not imagine Peck making the type of decisions that I made on a daily basis. People died because of what I did. Ridiculous hypothetical situations meant to test ethical waters could not come close to dealing with reality. "Yeah, that's the problem with the real world and academia," Thor said. "Little connection between the two." Thor was a scrawny kid who couldn't have been more poorly named and came off as kind of slow. Could it have been an act? I could not deny that Thor, like Chris, had an unhealthy amount of interest in me. I had not suspected Chris of anything until she'd pointed the gun at me. Her pretty face had blinded me to the obvious. Was I letting Thor's small size throw me off? "Guess so," I said. "Well, gotta go. Catching up with my study partner." "Oh, really?" Thor asked. "What class?" I had to think to make sure that Thor was not in any of my other classes. It was obvious that he was going to try to come along. I could not be sure if he shared any other classes, so I tried a different tactic. "Not planning on doing much studying. Just gonna hang out." "Where at?" Thor asked. "Don't know," I said, kind of leaving it up to her. "It's the girl I usually sit by in class." I smiled and winked. He didn't know about Shannon's disappearance. "Do you mind if I tag along?" he asked. "I have a couple of hours before my evening class." How daft was this kid? "Actually," I said, "I'd rather you did not. Kind of hoping. You know?" Thor had a blank look. "Thinking of this as a date?" I said. "Oh, sorry." "Maybe another time," I said. "Yeah, sure." To rid myself of Thor, I pulled out my phone and said I needed to make a call before I went into the library. As Thor began to saunter away, I tried to keep my composure. I wished I knew how to get rid of the guy for good. Once he was out of sight, I put my phone in my pocket, entered the library, and went to the second floor. I circled around the shelves of books so I could approach Chris from behind. I had told her to meet me at the desk I'd been using when we had first met, but when I got there, it was already occupied by somebody else. Chris was sitting in a seat several tables back. The guy that was in the seat I had used before had his head bent over a book, and I could see the orange tips of earplugs in his ears. I approached, keeping one hand in my pocket on the butt of my pistol. I was not taking any chances. She turned when I was several feet away. "We need to talk," Chris said. "Isn't that why I came?" I asked. "Not here," she said. "I guarantee you don't want this overheard." I smiled. "There's nothing we can't talk about here." Chris shook her head. "Just remember, you asked for this. I've been tracking the guys that have her." She pulled out a picture of Shannon strapped to a chair. Her hands and feet were bound. The gag running through her mouth was bloody. "I can help." I yanked Chris out of her chair and pinned her against the wall before I had a chance to realize what I was doing. My pistol was out and pushed into her gut. "Where is she?" I demanded, remembering at the last moment to keep my voice quiet. "Careful," Chris said. "People will see you." The person sitting at the desk in front of us had not looked back. I was a bit surprised he was not more bothered with all the commotion I was causing. Even with his earplugs, he should have heard something. I suppose he was just too focused to pay attention. I could sometimes be that way, too. "Where is she?" I whispered. "Let me go." Chris jabbed me light with something sharp and pressed a knife into my stomach. "I did not take Shannon, but I know where she is." I moved quickly and neutralized the knife before Chris could react. It fell to the floor, the carpet deadening the sound of its fall. "I'm trying to help you. Killing me won't get Shannon back." I pushed the pistol into her stomach, not caring if it hurt. Chris inhaled sharply and turned away as best she could. She had known my real name and had revealed she knew Shannon's as well. I should not have blown her off last night. "Relax. I'll tell you where. Even take you there. But I need you to listen first." 30 seconds. My voice was getting louder. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I knew that I should be more careful. But after everything that had happened in the last 24 hours, I was not really in the mood to think things through. "That kid's gonna hear you," Chris said. 20 seconds, I snapped. "Jake, you don't work for the government. Time's up. Where is Shannon?" "Did you hear me?" "Shannon, tell me now. Aren't you curious how I know her real name?" I don't care if you know how to get into Fort Knox, unless Shannon is in there. I grabbed her arm and pulled her to the back of the library. The kid with the earplugs had never turned around. I was grateful for that, but did not dwell on it. If you're lying. I left the thought unfinished. I dragged her into the stairwell and pushed her up against the wall and held the pistol to her neck. Chris stared back into my eyes as if I was not armed. How did you find her? I asked. Jake, I have resources that pale in comparison to Beltran's. So she knew about Beltran too. Why was she claiming that I did not work for the government? Did she know something I did not? The questions were pushed out of my mind when a thought occurred to me. How long have you known where she is? Did you know last night? No, she said, but her face betrayed the lie. I let it go for now. Think about it, Jake. Think of all the death you've seen working for Beltran. I don't know what you're talking about, I said. My name is Sam. Have it your way, Sam, she said. This way. She pushed me away and stalked off. Half an hour later, Chris pointed to an apartment complex. I tuned her out and focused on absorbing everything. It was an older building that was outfitted with fire escapes. The lobby had a doorman, who I assumed would be working for Martinez. You can't get in from the front, Chris said. The lobby is under surveillance. We will go around the side. Cameras, I asked. She nodded. The doorman, I asked. He's clean, she said. Why are you doing this? I asked. What is your angle? Martinez screw you. Now you want to talk? She asked. Never mind, I said. Which side? Chris stepped away and put her hand up. I am willing to help you, but you have to listen to me after we are done. You FBI? I asked. Does it matter? She sighed. I pulled the photo of Shannon out of my pocket. It looked so real. If it was a fake, a lot of time had been spent doctoring it. I will listen, I said. After Shannon is safe. I followed Chris down the side of the building where she led me to a window that was at the level of my chest. Chris stood on her tiptoes and knocked softly on the glass. My phone rang. I did not answer and put it on silent. The call was from Beltran, probably wanting to know where I was. I ended up being gone longer than I thought, but I was not going to pass up on a chance to get Shannon back. The window opened, and a man held out a hand to Chris and pulled her in. He offered me a hand too, but I refused, grabbing the window ledge and climbing up. There were 3 men in the room. All were armed with pistols and body armor. None of them looked surprised to see me, which probably meant that Chris was wearing a bug and that they had heard our whole conversation. I had not thought to check her before we set out. Several had hands on their pistols and watched me with wary eyes. There was a twin bed in the corner with a stained mattress that was falling apart, and I caught a whiff of a stench that I did not dwell on. In the back of my mind, I became concerned about some of what I had let slip when talking with Chris. I should have considered the possibility that our conversation was being recorded. At the moment, though, I was too worried about rescuing Shannon to care much beyond recognizing that I needed to be more careful. One of the men held his hand to an ear. They're moving the woman. He had a good couple of inches on me and was wider than me by half. The muscles in his arms and chest gave away the fact that he spent a lot of his time working out. The other men were of a similar build, though one was substantially shorter than the others. The short guy regarded me with open hostility. I did not blame him. I would react the same way if somebody were threatening a member of my team in the way I had done to Chris. They know we're here, Chris asked. Uncertain, the big man said, with a menacing glance at me. This way. We walked out of the bedroom into a small living room with an adjoining kitchen. The place smelled of Clorox and Pine Sol. The shag carpet was stained in several places and the furniture was falling apart. The table legs looked like they had been chewed on by a dog. One looked like it could break at any moment. The man that lives here was arrested a couple of days ago, Chris said when she noticed me taken in the room. I noticed a dog in the corner with its head down. It looked like a cross between a lab and a pit bull. It was still breathing, so I assumed that it had been tranquilized. We followed the big man out of the apartment and down the hall until we came to a stop just before the end of the hallway. Another hallway was to the left, and 30 feet down I could see an exit sign hanging above a door. This is where they will bring her, Chris whispered. Shannon and the others cannot know you had help. If you get into trouble and cannot handle this, we'll come to your rescue. You don't want me to do that, though, because I'll have no choice but to take you all into custody. Not FBI, huh? I pulled up my pistol. She did not take the bait. Be in touch, Chris said, as they disappeared back the way they had come. The short guy gave me one final glare before following the others into the room. I moved to the side of the wall and listened. Several minutes later, I heard footsteps and waited until I heard the exit door open. When I came around the corner, I saw a man pushing Shannon through the exit. She looked worse than she had in the picture. Her head hung forward, and she walked with a limp. There was a cut down the side of her face. I felt my chest tighten with fear, but held off until they were out of the door before I started to run. I had covered half the distance to the door when Payne came around the far corner, escorting Lisa. He cried out an alarm and pulled her back around the corner, firing off a shot. The bullet flew by to the side, leaving me untouched. I let them go and pushed through the exit. Shannon's captor was swinging his pistol my way as I fired. The shot took him in the chest, but I quickly touched off several more to make sure he went down. Shannon grabbed his gun and pushed him to the ground. I slammed the exit door shut behind me, realizing too late that it was locked from the outside. Shannon kicked the dying man in the head. I put an arm around her waist and pulled her back. He cannot hurt you. Shannon pulled away and kicked him again. Come on, I said. We need to get Lisa. She's one of them, Shannon said between kicks. Are you sure? She's with them, she said, snarling. I put my arms around Shannon and pulled her away from the dying man. She turned to me, and I let go. Her face was contorted with rage, and for a moment, I was afraid she was going to attack me. After a long pause, she turned away from her former captor. I encircled her in my arms, but she remained rigid, so I let go of her. There were multiple bruises on her arms, and her face was covered in dry blood. Her right eye was puffy, and a deep purple ring encircled it. There were a series of red marks around her neck. What did they do to you? Shannon did not respond. My phone vibrated. Beltran. As I answered and brought the phone to my ear, I noticed Shannon looking back at the man whose body lay in the doorway. Never again, she whispered. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.